charlie brown one side and burnt to a crisp on the other.
Oh, it drives me mad.
Fresh from the uneven toaster of life. It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Oh, hang on. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. All right, I've pressed record straight away for today's All Day Breakfast because the Zoom meeting pops up with Matt O'Kine. Matt O'Kine, what is this drip you are running right now? You got the suit jacket on?
Are you going to suck it off to this?
What's happening?
I got brown shoes on as well.
Damn.
Still got my little chicken socks, though. Sophia picked them out for me this morning. Thank you very much to my 18-month-old daughter.
Now, what's going on? Why are you so dressed up?
Some of us have things to do and places to be, Alex Dyson,
well,
all right?
Because I'm in my ripped stuff. I'm in my ripped jeans at the knees because got a bit of painting and moving around to do.
Melbourne
opening up. Pop-up bars are hitting the city and I've been moving stuff around. What about yourself?
Now, wait, don't be turning the mics on and pointing a finger at my slick Skuxas jacket and brown shoes when you're wearing a Sydney Kings basketball t-shirt, which I know for a fact you got given for free 4 years ago when we were still on Triple J.
Mate, what do you think my wardrobe is? It's all random crap. Look, the Sydney Kings are crap, absolutely not. But it's all random threads that have landed in my cupboard over the years. Random band shirts, random Movember t-shirts.
When was the last time you actually bought some clothing? Be honest. Be dead set honest. When did you actually buy clothing?
I had to buy a white collared shirt for a wedding probably 18 months ago.
Okay. Dear, oh dear.
And I did that instead of buying an iron for my other shirt. So,
well, I think we need some queer eyes for you, my friend. I think we need a bit of flipping your wardrobe.
Anybody could pass their eye over this and come up with something a little bit better. But anyway, this is a good show because very exciting astronomical news. And we have our number one reporter, Professor Alan Duffy, joining us. I'm very excited to not only get into this big news, Matt O'Kine, but also last time he joined us, it was directly after he got scratched on the cornea by his own child.
It was serious business. Like he spent the whole, like as an absolute champion, spent the whole interview like Niagara Falls coming down one side of his face, water just tearing through.
If anyone's seen the movie Casino Royale starring Daniel Craig and the villain Le Chiffre, who has a tear of blood, God, he just dabs it with a hanky. That's what Alan Duffy was doing last time.
Oh, God. Ron. Poor Duffy.
So hopefully he's all right this time and he's going to get into it. Plus, I gotta get a perm haircut, Matt O'Kine. And we've been doing a little bit of research, producer Bron. I'll talk about it later. Anyway, she says something funny. We'll get into it because it's all part of All Day Breakfast. Thank you very much for listening. Shall we get started?
Let's go.
Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast.
Huge news in outer space yesterday, Matt O'Kine. We found out that we found actual water on the moon. Now, this opens up all sorts of possibilities for those of us who live in the real world and don't believe it was on a soundstage like yourself, Matt. But we don't know anything about space. Okay, so we thought that we would recruit our favourite astrophysicist to join us here, Professor Alan Duffy. Hello.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Well, I'm feeling a bit exposed because Alan. I mean, I didn't expect Alex to tell you that I am a secret flat earther, but I am. So there you go. Now that we got it out here.
Well, now it feels comfortable. Right now that it's all out on the table.
You always knew there was something slightly off there, Alan. It's good to actually put a label on it with the flat earther. What do you say is the best fact to say to someone like Matt O'Kine when it comes to this sort of belief system?
I mean, have you flown? Have you ever flown?
Well, have you been to the moon? I mean, how do I know that it's
but
there.
I can see it. I can see the moon.
Oh,
I
sure.
Can see it's
sure. I'll wait until I'm on it before I believe that it's there and that people can get it. Alan, you almost couldn't see the moon because you had an awful situation with your daughter recently. Last time we chatted to you, you copped a solid whack to your poor eye.
Yeah, that's right. No, she officially scratched my cornea, and that's why I had pink eye. That was the reason.
Yikes.
And absolutely agony. And but she's so cute. You know what can you do? So I had to give her the other eye to stab as well. But she's the difficulty with it was I then lost the ability to have stereoscopic vision. Right, so I can't tell if the moon is small and really close or if it really is that vast and far away. That's the challenge right now.
Painted. I mean, for a long time, to be fair as well, for a long time after I saw The Truman Show, I did wonder whether they just made The Truman Show to make me not think that The Truman Show was a possibility in my life. Do you know what I mean?
Well, sorry, last time Alan Duffy joined us, the tears were a result of a fingernail from the daughter. This time the tears are for Matt O'Kine and his misguided thoughts.
Well, so we're talking about the moon today. I previously tried to buy property on the moon.
Despite not believing in it.
No, just despite not believing that Neil Armstrong went to it, okay? That's all I'm saying. All right.
Matt, are you saying that he trespassed on your property? Is that what you're telling me?
That's it. It was open for inspection before I was allowed, and that's therefore not fair. But no, Alan, tell us about what they discovered on the moon, in the last couple of days in terms of the water.
Oh, this is crazy. So NASA has found liquid water on the moon in the sunlit side. I want to tell you why this is such a crazy finding. So the sun, as it's beaming down on this absolutely barren desert world, right? The moon is completely devoid of water, we thought. And there on the sunlit side, they're actually seeing signals from liquid water somehow trapped, we think, within or around grains of this lunar dirt. And it was discovered by a telescope they put on this inside a 747. I can't even believe I'm saying this. They put it inside a 747, cut the side off that aircraft, flew it up to 12 kilometers high above our own atmosphere so it could then see out to the moon and get this beautiful view of this water and detected. Now, what that means is we have liquid water on the moon to support our astronauts when they go there as part of NASA's Artemis in 2024. It means they can use it to grow crops for long duration flights to, say, Mars, but we can also split it into hydrogen and oxygen. That is literal rocket fuel. So now the moon becomes a resupply station. It becomes a refueling station. And Matt, that property you bought is worth its weight in gold. This is a gold mine, man. Stay on that.
So you're telling me, Professor Duffy, that much like on road trips from Warrnambool to Melbourne for our excursions, where we'd stop at the Cryo Bay Roadhouse in Geelong for a bacon and egg roll, that is now the moon to astronauts going from Earth to Mars. It's a truck stop for our boys and girls in the spacesuits.
That's right, and how magnificent is that? We have turned this celestial heavenly object into a pit stop truck.
And so I'll tell you what, the bathrooms are going to be absolutely disgusting. It's going to be absolute mess there.
And of course you're going to get the key on some dog's bowl or something connected to some thong. What the hell are we doing with this? We really need to lug a whole bloody trunk of a tree to get to the bathroom?
Now, is it only discovered now because previously we've been looking at the moon through telescopes based on Earth and the atmosphere has stopped us from seeing? Is it this the 747 technique that they've used, the reason that we've been able to see the water?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. If you have this telescope on the ground, you look up, you're going to see water, but that's the clouds, right? That's our own atmosphere's water. So you have to get above it to be able to see into space, to see this signal from elsewhere. It's not that there's a lot of water, though. I don't want to make it sound like Neil Armstrong missed a puddle, right? Like, I mean, it's not like he missed that feature when he walked on the moon. This is 100 parts per million of water. To give a context of that, if you wanted to make a liter bottle of water, you would have to squeeze out this water from about 10 tons of the lunar soil. Ooh. It is dry. It is really, really dry.
Okay.
You take a teaspoon's worth of water, you've added 100 parts per million water to your body, right? We're not talking particularly thirst quenching, but if you're up there and you're processing it, and we know that there's ice fields in the poles in particular, where there's even more water that can be accessed, you can do a lot because it's expensive to get water up to the moon. In fact, that bottle of water you just squeezed out of 10 tons of the lunar soil, that would have cost you $35,000 to fly up to the moon.
Wow.
That's how expensive it is.
I mean, that's almost as much as a bottle of Fiji water at a hotel, to be completely fair. So you always got to make sure if they put the complimentary tag on it, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, got to be very, very wary. Well, that's quite exciting. And this mission that you referred to there, Alan, was in 2024. Can you tell us what the latest is with that particular mission and why that's so exciting?
Yeah, so this is NASA's Artemis mission. It will see the first woman walk on the moon in 2024, and shortly thereafter, they'll have a permanent lunar base. So people will be living and working on the moon as part of that. Now, that all became a lot easier, a lot cheaper when we discovered this water. NASA estimated to ship about 100 metric tons of water, and that's what the base would need, would cost about $3.5 billion, capital B. So by accessing the water on the moon, just have all that savings. So it makes it a lot more feasible. It just makes everything more exciting for the future.
It's your sort of astronomical version of turning up to the airport and your baggage is a couple of grams over the limit and they go, oh, we're going to have to charge you excess on
$3 billion there.
$3 billion.
So, give or take. I mean, but here's the thing, Alan. Why haven't they gone back to the moon more since Apollo 11 and all that, huh? How come?
Well, I'm just trying to see at what point does your crazy theories come into play, Matt O'Kai. Okay, so the idea is we went there for a little bit of science, right? There was some science, but mostly it was prestige. And once you've done it once, not so prestigious.
I'd say it's sort of like Nimbin. I mean, you go there once, sure.
Well,
a bit of an experience.
Some people who've turned Nimbin into their home. Well, you know what I mean? So
exactly right. You retire there, I think, is what it is later in life.
So people went to the moon. That was it. That's why no one's gone back. I mean, surely we could have set up a webcam and stuff up there. I feel like it was underutilized. I'm glad to hear we're going back in 2024.
We're going to go back, and we're going to go back in 4K. Right, so you're going to get your webcam. That is part of the mission. I'm serious. It's going to
really?
Be glorious.
Have they got the NBN up there yet, or what's happening? That'll take another two decades to install, no doubt.
Matt, literally, I'm saying literally, I don't know how true this is, but I read it on the internet, so who knows? Nokia got the contract to put 4G on the moon.
Wow. Right?
Yeah, NASA gave them the contract. And you think that 3310... It's still, Neil Armstrong dropped on the moon, still got 2 bars battery left, right? It's still going.
That's it. Well, Professor Alan Duffy, astronomer from Swinburne University, thank you so much for informing
Thanks
us
so
as
much.
To the latest moon news. We really appreciate it. We're glad your eye is better and hopefully catch you soon.
It's been a pleasure, guys. Have a good one.
And of course, Matt O'Kine, this opens up a whole range of opportunities for, entrepreneurs, individuals, astronauts. This water on the moon is such a game changer. And we've actually got a list of the top reasons why water on the moon is a game changer. Starting off with, if there is an astronaut that really annoys you, all you need to do is jump in a buggy and wait for them to be waiting for the shuttle, and you can drive past the puddle and splash them. It's real get them.
Yeah, it's good news for every homeowner on Earth, because now at night, every house has ocean views.
It also means that we're going to be seeing the very first interstellar wine, which is to be branded Moon Goon.
Costa's been invited to host a new series of Gardening Moon. However, he had to decline because his beard couldn't fit in the space helmet.
And given that the new base has to be set up on this water source, it seems like even astronauts can't avoid sleeping in the wet patch.
Matt and Alex... All day breakfast.
Coffee? Yeah, coffee.
A seventh coffee never hurt anyone.
Oh, I feel a buzz.
Alex Dyson, I got hit with a spring cleaning bug.
Ooh, well, it's the perfect time for it, isn't it?
Oh, man. We started trying to clear stuff out. But anyway, part of the clean out is, and everyone going back to work. Belinda's going back to work.
Wait, sorry to interrupt, but because you have been in your house for, 8 years? Nine years.
I have rented the same apartment. I have damn near bought this apartment for this goddamn owner who I've never seen, never met, don't know anything about them. Thank you for letting me stay for nine years.
The longest I've stayed at a place in the last decade has been probably 2 years.
Yeah.
And so the longer you stay in there, the longer random crap accumulates. And exactly. So a spring clean after 9 years, I can only imagine what's coming out.
Well, so this chair that I've had that I found in my cupboard, right, I have had since my best mates from Brisbane, who I went to high school with, bought it for me when I first moved out of home in 2006, right? So here's
That's
the
a great
thing.
Place to sit, the cupboard.
No, so I've recently been using my partner's, Belinda's work chair because she's been working from home. Now she's going back to work. And I'm like, oh, damn, I'm going to have to use my old chair.
Oh, she brought her chair from work to your place.
To home, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I put it in my office because we've got chairs at home. Anyways, so now I have to send the chair back to Belle's work. And so I pulled out the old chair that I've had since 2006, mind you. Mm. And I forgot when I pulled it out and sat on it that in 2006... when I put it together, so that by accident, so that you know how you're supposed to like sit in a comfy office chair
I've sat before.
And it has that kind of tilt backwards. Mm. You know, you sit into it and it tilts slightly backwards.
Yeah.
Well, in 2006 when I built this chair, I did it the wrong way round. So it just tilts me forwards and I kind of...
Right, so instead of your body making an obtuse angle in a seated position, you're past 90 degrees, you're acute.
Yeah, anytime I sit down, it just tips me forward. And
folds you like a focaccia.
like an origami swan. Like the wings of a swan, my arms are out on either side, flapping to gain steadiness.
Mm.
But it just made me wonder, because it's been like this for 15 years and I've never changed it. And I'm always uncomfortable, incredibly uncomfortable when I sit on this chair because I'm basically kneeling.
But
that's what I'm doing. I'm squatting when I sit on this chair.
But it's
going
to be very uncomfortable to get the screwdriver out.
Oh,
get it in
you
there,
should
turn
see
it
the drawer that the screwdriver's in. There's things in there that haunt me at night. So
what have you got the wrong way round? Well,
that's what I'm wondering.
I put the bloody razor blades the wrong way around on my shaver the other day, and in trying to fix them up, cut 3 even slices into my thumb, which is quite annoying. I'll dob in Woods an uncanny ability to like wearing a T-shirt to bed, pajama tops, right?
Oh, yeah.
An uncanny ability to get it not only back to front, but inside out and back to front. So wake up in the morning and she has a tag flapping into her chin. It's more often than random chance.
Is she doing it on purpose?
No.
Does she like the little tactical?
There is no thought into putting it on. Surely you could just feel and get it on the right way. It would annoy me so much, but it just doesn't matter. It's going on. Okay, what have you got round the wrong way? Let us know.
Order up. Just how you like it.
Perfect.
All day breakfast.
Now, Matt O'Kine, my locks are hanging low as we come out of this Melbourne isolation. And we thought, what better time to do something a little bit special with the post-lockdown haircut.
Oh, man, you've had floppy hair for too long. It flops, you know?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of body, not a whole lot of shine.
I tell you what, there isn't. Absolutely no bounce.
No. Not at all.
You've got quite limp hair, I have to tell you.
It's like a fifth day SCG test wicket up there at the moment. very, very, very flat. And look, we want to do something about it. And so we thought, what better way, what better time to do something that we've been wanting to do for a long time, and that is bring something back, something that has been out in the doldrums for far too long, and that is none other than the majestic, the unforgettable, the unparalleled Perm. Return
of the Perm. Yeah, we thought the Perm went in the 80s and the 90s. I remember, I actually think my mum got one in the early 90s, but, you know, the trend disappeared. And it needs a true hero to bring it back.
That's it. So myself and a few fellow perm whales, as you described them the other day, Matt, have decided to get on board. And we're going to bring back the perm. But the difficult thing with that is like, how do we go about this? Because our producer, Bron's been in charge of Perm Search 2020. She goes, it's been an absolute nightmare. Not only are hairdressers in Melbourne packed as a result of everyone trying to get in at once, but also... just not that many people do perms anymore.
No, it's kind of like trying to get your favorite movie on VCR, you know, on VHS. Like it's an old technology. Some people threw those irons out a long time ago.
And yeah, producer Bron said to me, she walked in, I'm like, how's it going? She was flustered. He goes, oh, bloody Koshy was easier to get than a perm. But the good news is, Matt O'Kime, we have found a Melbourne perm expert. She works at Hair by Brooke. Her name is Rena, and she's joining us right now. Hello, Rena.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you, Rena.
How's your day been, all right?
Oh, look, we're great. We're much happier now that we've found you, someone who is a technician that can help out Alex Dyson.
Technician, yeah. I would say artist, Rena. What would you call yourself?
I've been doing it for the last 35 years. I've been doing hairdressing, so... yeah, perm's my specialty.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, you took?
I've done two today, another two tomorrow, so I'm all permed out.
Oh!
Well, this is exciting because we've been calling around and people keep hand-passing us away. They go, oh, I don't do perms. Our salon doesn't do perms. Why do people not do perms enough, Rena?
I don't know. People just don't like doing it, so I just like the old tradition. Mm. People, yeah, a lot of my clients like the perms.
How long will Alex Dyson, how long does it take to perm?
It takes 20 minutes to wind and all up. You're looking at about an hour and a half.
Okay.
It all depends on the length of hair.
Yeah, for sure.
The now, shorter, the better. The shorter, the quicker.
That's good. Well, ooh. I'm sort of running at about 20 centimetres hair. I've been, Matt and I have had this discussion off air, Rena, but we've been wondering, what's the most popular radius for a perm curl? Are we going to go some large swoops? Or are we getting real small 2-minute noodle perm action?
Yeah, because I've seen that.
No, 2-minute noodles, no.
Oh, really? I mean, I've heard the ramen noodle perm is kind of in, you know?
Not for me. I won't be doing that.
Okay. So Alex Dyson can rule his Justin Timberlake dreams out, okay? You're not going to look like JT and it's going to be me.
I'd already bought the double denim ready to match it with that. But Rena, you did mention your clients as well. What sort of clients do usually come in for a perm?
Mostly you get the elderlies that come in, which I adore. Yeah. So if you get the occasional... youngies that come in
young
and have
buck.
They like their waves.
And is there, I mean, I've seen, because people have texted in, Rena, a gentleman texted in recently, sent us a photo. He's got some battle scars from the perm, red hot sort of singe on his forehead.
Oh, no.
What sort of nasty accidents have happened on the, you know?
Well, it all depends on the solution that you're using because, yeah, if it's not the right solution, you're going to get a bit of accidents. So you've got to find out, you know, if they're sensitive to the scalp or if not, you have, yeah. So, yeah, well, so does the client that I'm going to be doing, do they have coloured hair? Do they have...
It's brown, non-coloured hair.
Okay, very straight.
In fact, Reina, now I'm very inexperienced when it comes to doing anything outside of the norm for my hair.
Yeah.
My dad cut my hair well into my 20s. the only time I've ever done something weird is when my sister was giving my cousin blonde tips. Okay. And she goes, "You want some?" I'm like, "Yes, yeah, slap a dollop in the middle of my head." And I had a blonde circle for about 4 months. That's the only time.
Terrible,
Doc. It's the only time I've done anything with my hair. I am a little bit nervous about it. Is there anything you can say to put me at ease at all?
Just come in, enjoy yourself, and relax. Mm-hmm. Give you a cup of coffee, and we'll give you a biscuit to go with it.
Oh, now what are we talking about? Root, you know, arrowroot biscuit, milk arrowroot, or, you know, scotch fingers?
No, just a nice shortbread.
Oh, now you're talking. I might get myself a perm. How relaxing. All right. Well, thank you very much, Reina.
You're welcome.
Alex Dyson, when do you think you might want to do this?
Well, have you got time next week, Reina? Can I pop by and bring back the perm next week?
You can if you like.
Now, there is one thing I need to run past you here, Reina, before we're doing this. In all this perm chat, I was excited about the return of the perm. It is a step outside the norm for me, and I've just remembered that I'm also actually going to be an ambassador for Movember this year.
Oh, and okay.
So
do you want me to perm your mind?
Well, no, not necessarily, but is this something, like, I'm thinking of Ghostbusters here. The rule is never cross the streams. Am I going to be too sexy by adding a perm on top of a mo?
I reckon it'll look great.
Yeah, and who knows, you might meet someone else, one of other Reina's clients who's got the same tastes as you, Alex Dyson, you never know.
Yeah, it's a, look, that's an unfortunate scheduling error from me, but it's going to be a big one, so thank you, Reina. We will talk to you next week, and mark it in the diary, November 2020, the official return of the perm. Well, Matt O'Kine, wouldn't you know it, once again, it's happened again. We've found ourselves in the middle of a talkback conga.
Yeah, it all started when I asked the question, when's karma gotcha? And that led to, when have you gotten $20? Which led to, what's the worst bet you've made?
Where you find us right now, what's your relationship rules? Because we did have a chat to a listener yesterday, Matt O'Kine, who a partner has a rule. If they don't floss, you've got to put up your arms and get a 10-second tickle in the pits.
Oh, it's torture. Absolutely torturous. I've got rules with my partner.
What's your relationship rule?
Well, I want to start a home brewery.
In your two-bedroom inner-city apartment.
Well, when we finally move to a bigger family home, I've already dibsed a basement area to start some home brewing.
So wait, you're going to be walking through a house with Belinda, and she'll go, "Oh, this will make a great nursery." And you go, "No, that's where I'm going to put the fermentation tanks." Anyways, leave the cot out of this.
She's like, "Yeah, sure, you can have your little home brewery, right? My little brewing company. As soon as you can." Okay, so squat and sit on the ground and then stand up without using your hands at all. So you have to go from a standing position with your feet crossed over, right? Standing up. Then you have to sit down and then stand up.
So is this a trying to get more flexible rule?
Why is the rule in place? Break my knees rule, man. Of course I can't do it. I'm deadlocked. I agreed to it. And then I tried. She's like, "Okay, we'll try it." And then I went, "Ah, my leg gave away."
Goodness me. I'm on the ground
squealing.
Well, it looks like O'Kine's yeasty favourites aren't going to be coming out of the basement any time soon. But we do have Daniel on the line from Wollongong. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, how you doing?
Great, thank you, Daniel. Now, your partner and you have a rule for burping.
Yeah, so we have a little game where we like to rate each other's burps if we so ask for it. but there's only one rule to the game. And that rule is you can't argue with the referees. So if you get a score of 8 and you argue, you get a score of 7. And every argument you put forward, you go down a point.
Oh. So describe a 10 for us, Daniel.
Well, it's elusive, but a 10, it's based on three things. It's based on the duration, the pitch, and the intensity. You've got to have something that comes from the toes. It's got to go for a while, and it's got to float up and down. That's the 10.
Wow. And have either of you ever got a 10 before?
No, no, yeah.
Wow. Well, it's your white whale, isn't it? We're aiming for that.
You need your tongue. You're literally looking for that tongue wobble like it happens in The Simpsons, you know?
Oh, yes.
Daniel, if we were to record our burps during the week, sure. Do you reckon we could get back to you and get a rating from you and your partner?
Oh, 100%. We'd have a go
Wait,
at it.
Hold on. We didn't agree to this. What the hell? I don't want to burp on.
No, sorry. I meant me and Woods. I know you're not. You're, I know you'd be Matt bringing out a bunch of threes over there. He's not part of our game here, Daniel. This chump.
So, Daniel, when did you realise that you and your partner had this love in common?
Oh gosh, we shared a lot of similarities, and we've been together for probably about 11 years. Probably about a year after that, a year after meeting, we sort of realised we were pretty compatible in these sorts of departments.
Sounds like there's a few other categories in this competition that could be finding their way onto the scoreboard.
Can I ask, are the scores recorded in some sort of book or stone tablet, Daniel?
No recordings, but I do get reminded of me being a bad judge most times. So.
All right. So where were you, Daniel, when you got your highest score? When did you clock your PB?
Oh, most of them all sort of happen around to family and friends. Nothing in public, unfortunately, but I think the missus has had a pretty good 9.5 in public before.
Oh, well done. Well,
in public as well. Woods had a good one walking out of the house the other day, just doing a big burp, not realizing there was a lady putting something in our mailbox.
Oh, it's bad.
So anyway, we'll try and catch some for you, Daniel. We'll get the expert opinion. You can be our Matt Preston of burps.
Fantastic. I'll take it.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks, guys.
Ooh, I reckon we keep the conga going, Daiso.
You want to keep it up? All right.
I'm keep
this balloon in the air, okay?
Let's see if we can hit the end of the week. I'm thinking, what are you the Matt Preston of? You know, what are you judging? What do you keep score of?
Sounds good to me. Daniel, have you you've got burps? Is there anything else in your arsenal?
Look, I'd mention a few things, but we won't go there.
You'd have to lower the phone. All right. Well, all right. Okay. Thanks, Daniel. Well, we really appreciate you sharing that with us. And you listening, let us know, what do you keep score of? Matt.n.alex on Instagram.
Well, Matt O'Kine, that brings us to the end of another all-day breakfast. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks again to Professor Alan Duffy for giving us all the moon goss that we can handle, and also to Rena, who is going to be giving me all the curls I can handle next week. The perm is locked in. It's going to be a powerful look with that mustache. And I thought I'd told Woods about it, and I realised that I hadn't, and she was quite
shocked.
You're
not bringing that home. That's not a surprise that any partner wants.
So
the perm and the mo combo.
It's gonna be a heavy scene. But look, you only live once, Matt O'Kine. I think it's about time. I will start solving crimes in Miami as a result. But I would love you to join me, okay? If you want to get on board at the ground floor, the perm is returning. You can book an appointment too.
Right, and let's people in Melbourne have gone too long without sex, okay? They don't need to jump on board this awful fad and deprive themselves any longer.
No. I think the opposite is happening, Matt O'Kine. So get on board for that. Thank you very much for listening as well. Oh, and happy out of lockdown day to the people of Melbourne coming out today, Matt O'Kine.
Hey, huge stuff. You got any big plans for tonight?
I'm going to be at Bob Bar. We're opening it up again. I mean, it was meant to be there for the comedy festival. That didn't happen. So this is going to be our 7-month late comedy festival party. So if you do want to come down, come and say good day at 240 Little Collins Street. We'll be there having a beverage and celebrating at table service in a COVID-safe way with hand sanitizer and masks.
Please make sure you check in on arrival, okay? No
exactly.
Fake names.
Exactly.
No Walter P. money bags or whatever.
But yes, thank you for listening. And we're going to leave you with a voice memo that we got from a listener called Jackson, who was listening to our show and heard me tell you that there are two kinds of people in this world. Those who know what they're doing when it comes to putting margarine on bread, and the other people whose take way too much out of the environment and then try and put it back sloppily on the edge of the rim, leaving crumbs in the marge. I mean,
disgusting.
At Rat Dog Memes put up a very spicy.
He did another great meme as well. Whoever runs the page, well done, Rat Dog Memes.
Check that one out. But Jackson did not like my barbs thrown towards people who wipe the marge back in the bucket. And so we're going to leave you with his thoughts on that issue. Thank you again for listening today, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
I am angry about what you blokes said about people like me who put excess marge back into the container. I'm quite frankly offended. I've actually got it down to quite a good art form. Put the excess on the knife, stick the knife in the container, close the lid, pull the knife out. All the excess will just slide straight off. Next time you open the lid, there it is, ready to go.
I hate it.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got a story we need to hear? All the links are at mattandalex.com.au.